HanselMinutes.com. It's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 368, recorded live Thursday, April 18th, 2013. Support for Hansel Minutes is provided by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support. Online at telerik.com. And by franklins.net, makers of Gesture Pack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Dean Ellis from Xamarin and Philippe Rolland from Infinite Flight about using Monogame and Xamarin to make Infinite Flight a reality.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we're here at Xamarin Evolve in Austin, Texas. They've taken over the hotel. It's amazing, and there's people all over the place talking about Visual Studio and talking about Xamarin Studio and all the great things that they can do. They can write applications in C# that run in any app store on the planet, and I have got Dean Ellis from Xamarin, who works on Monogame. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Scott, how are you?
I am freaking brilliant. I just had a blast, just got off stage, so I'm coming down from that emotional high.
Yeah, it's an amazing conference so far.
It is fantastic. It's so fun. It's just, it's love in the streets right now. And then we've got Philippe Rolland from Infinite Flight.
How are you? Hi, Scott. I'm pretty good.
You've got apps in the App Store.
Yeah, we do. Infinite Flight on Windows Phone and iOS. And yeah, it's been great.
That's fantastic. There are a lot of games that are written in Monogame, and we can't tell, though, that they're written in Monogame. And I think that from the end user's point of view, that's what we want, right? You shouldn't be able to tell. I talked to the Draw a Stick Man guys a couple of months ago on the show, and I had no idea. It didn't, like, run slower. Yep. It had no performance issues. It just is.
No, I mean, the Monogame, I mean, the Monogame community has made like an amazing job, porting, XNA, to multiple platform and to, keep the native feel on all of those platform. Mm-hmm. That's really the strength that has been, Monogame so far.
And I wanted to talk to you from Infinite Flight, because when you think about a flight simulator, you think about calculations and physics and mathematics and complexity and frames per second.
Correct. Yes.
And at a high level, we think of C# as being this, you know, garbage collected high level thing.
Yeah.
It's not a low level language. So why would you pick the highest level language when you want massive amounts of performance and 60 frames a second?
Well, I mean, for us in particularly, it was more like, we were .NET developers. We were not mobile developers. We decided on .NET because we loved C#. And we realized very quickly that we were able to do very performance stuff on C# with C#. So that's pretty much the reason why we choose that.
So you did not want to go and learn how to do Objective-C?
We tried for 30 minutes and...
Is that fair? Is that fair? There are no
probably,
doubt there were people
probably
listening.
Not fair. I mean, we were a little bit biased from being .NET developer for the man for so long, and that's why. I mean, there's no other real reason for that choice.
Mm-hmm. And Dean, Philippe said the XNA community. So XNA kind of came from where?
Well, XNA was originally a framework written by Microsoft specifically for the Xbox and also the Windows platform. And the idea was to create a nice, simple API that developers could pick up and write games with. It was mainly for indie developers. Mm-hmm. Now, where Monogame stepped in there was trying to bring that kind of nice API and easy API to other platforms so mm-hmm. that developers could take their code and take their games and just use them on iPads or other devices.
So I think lots of people who are listening will, they understand that you add add a library as a reference and you get all of these namespaces available to you. Was XNA just one DLL or two or three DLLs and then you add references to
them? The original XNA, system was probably about five or six, assemblies, if I remember rightly. Mm-hmm. And they're all split up into, various parts like a core library which contains mathematical functions like vectors and matrices, mm-hmm. And then you've also got stuff like the graphics assembly which contained all the render targets and textures and all that kind of stuff, and there's a whole bunch of other stuff including networking. Mm-hmm. And the idea was that you just create a new XNA project, add those references, and then you can just start making a game, making a great game for Xbox and Windows.
I know when I write a console app, I've got like a main, and then I'm just kind of on my own. Is that where you start in XNA?
In XNA, yep, there's usually a main entry point, and then you create a class that's derived from a game class, and then you run that class. It's very similar to the way kind of WinForms works. You create a form, and then you run the application. Mm-hmm. So it's got that kind of feel to it. And then in the game class, you then, in the class that you derived from the game class, you then override the update and the draw methods, mm-hmm. to, you know, update your inputs and then obviously draw your graphics. So it's quite a nice little framework to work with.
And can I bring in other .NET classes that I might want, or do I have to stick within a certain surface area of things that only XNA will allow me to do?
Well, for the Xbox, you were restricted as to what classes you could use, but when you were using XNA on the desktop, you could pretty much use any .NET assembly you wanted.
Mm-hmm. And is it mostly UI and graphics and things like that, or are there isolated storage APIs, or how do I like save my settings?
There are isolated storage APIs for those platforms as well. And Monogame implement those, so you can use the same kind of APIs on all the platforms. So it's quite a nice little framework.
So you say implement. Now, when I think of implementing, I think of implementing interfaces. And it's not like the XNA stuff was all just like, here are all these friendly interfaces, and you get to go and then implement those interfaces. Are what you're doing is making classes that do the exact same thing written entirely from scratch, and they just happen to be named the same?
Yeah, I mean, basically what we've done is we've copied the exact same namespaces, and we've got all the same classes. So in XNA, there's a Texture2D class. In Monogame, there's a Texture2D class in exactly the same namespace. The actual interface for the Texture2D class is exactly the same as it is in XNA and in Monogame. So basically, from the outside, there's no difference between the two platforms. It's just everything that we do under the hood. So on, say, Android and iOS, we use OpenGL under the hood to do the graphics APIs. On Windows, we've got a DirectX 11 backend, which we use for Windows 8 Store and also normal Windows desktop. Mm-hmm. And for Linux and Mac, we've got an OpenGL backend as well. So, and all that kind of platform specific stuff is hidden away from the user because, we just surface the XNA APIs.
And it never leaks out. I mean, like, forgive my ignorance. I don't mean to ask stupid questions, but like, I get that you've got OpenGL on all these platforms, and then you've got DirectX over on these other platforms. And I'm thinking, well, surely you must get into these weird situations where some texture's in front of another, or there's some weird Z ordering thing, or something clips on one platform and not another. And it's because of some abstraction that you've tried to hide that has then bubbled its way all the way up. And now you've got to hack your way around it.
Originally, I think when the framework first started, we did have issues like that. But, the framework's been in development for probably about four or five years now, I think.
Oh, wow.
So there's been quite a few man hours put into this, community effort, and a lot of those particular issues are non-existent at the moment. I mean, one good example is if you use the normal sprite batch class, which you use to just render textures on the screen, mm-hmm. There is literally no difference between an XNA game and something that's running on Monogame. It looks the same.
Really?
Yeah.
So if I were to go and write something in, like, you know, I don't know, whatever the raw thing is on iOS, and then do the same thing with XNA, you just couldn't tell them apart.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pixel for pixel. So if you're a very art-focused game, like I think Bastion is one of the games that I'm really excited about, where everything has to be pixel perfect or it's going to look wrong and the little men are going to interact incorrectly. It's just handled.
Yeah, I mean, the team has spent a lot of time and effort trying to make sure that the graphics results are as good as they can be.
Now, you bring up an interesting point a minute ago. You said that this is a couple years old, like 4 years old plus. This is not like a little series of shim hacks on top of stuff. This is not a thrown together library. This is tremendous amounts of man hours have been put into this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a long going product. It originally started as Mono. What was it? The original framework was, I can't remember what it was called now. It was specifically for iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only for iPhone. And then a couple of people came into the team. They saw this XNA API, and then we moved it to Mac and Android.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that came Windows 8. And then there was obviously Linux and mm-hmm. the Windows desktop. So it's been quite a few years in the making. So there's a lot of man hours behind it. We've got a good team of core developers that have, most of which have been working on it for over a year or more. And they're all very passionate about that particular project. So it's not going away anytime soon.
About how many committers are there?
Well, there's a core of about six developers. But then we have, I don't know what the community is, but we've got a whole bunch of people that fix issues or mm-hmm. implement new features. It's all handled through Git. So they just, fork the library right. and push it and send pull requests when they've got something they want to include.
And this is a kind of a copy local thing in the sense of if someone did go and fork it and fix some bug and didn't want to wait for a new release, they could ship with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what Bastion did. Bastion took a fork of the Monogame product. They did some stuff that they needed specifically for the games that they were producing. And they then open sourced their fork a little while ago because it diverged quite a lot from the original one. So all that is kind of available.
Philippe, did you guys do anything like that? Did you find anything, behaviors or things in Monogame you wanted to change?
Well, yeah, exactly. When we started forking Monogame, it was in 2011, I think September. And so there was no 3D back then, at least in the public version of Monogame. So what we did is we forked it and we implemented the whole 3D shader stage of Monogame to match XNA as close as possible. We forked it, and it was kind of, it went kind of far, from the original fork branch, that was on the Monogame GitHub page. So, it was hard for us to contribute back directly to them. So what we did is we just send them the source code and they reintegrated it, in their branch and actually extended it. And now it's really well done, according to, really close to
extent. So you're saying they kind of took your stuff en masse and then kind of
yes.
tidied it up.
Yeah. 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 Because we were on a shipping schedule and.
Sure. And then are you back on the main line now?
Now we are, our next version of Infinite Flight will be back on, the current branch. And actually everything that we modify right now, mm-hmm. is public. We have our branch of, Motogame is public, and whatever we're shipping on the App Store or the, marketplace, that's the, on our GitHub page, mm-hmm. there's the public, version of Motogame that we use, that might have some modification that are not yet integrated back into the main branch of Motogame, Motogame. But it's there for anybody to use.
Well, I think that people who are listening might be thinking, well, on the one hand, this is really mature and you're saying it's been around for 4 years and we can trust it and it's not going anywhere. But on the other hand, we've got two really great examples in Bastion and Infinite Flight. And in both instances, you had to fork it and go off and do something. So then someone else might say, well, that doesn't sound like a mature library. That sounds like a library that's missing chunks of what I need. Is that a fair statement, or do you think that it's just that you had really special needs that Monogame didn't?
It's
do? In your case, 3D wasn't there.
Well, yes,
but correct. Now it is.
So that's why now we going back into it, and because we don't have the manpower that Monogame contributors have. I mean that the
well,
Monogame
you're
project
two and they're six.
Yes, and plus all the other contributions. So even if I mean now it would be foolish to think that we can afford that kind of manpower mm-hmm. to be able to release on all those platforms that we want to target.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that if someone's got XNA code right now, or they wrote a game a couple of years ago, that they can, and they wrote it on the original XNA, that they could totally jump in and they should start doing work in Monogame?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got an existing XNA application for Xbox or for Windows Phone 7, because we've had quite a few people convert from Windows Phone 7, you can just take your code and begin porting. Very simple games, with just, you know, say 2D textures and sound effects and various, you know, your kind of, normal Windows Phone games that are very simple. Mm-hmm. You can probably port those in a few hours tops. And most of
that's
is
a bold statement.
Yes. Yeah. Personally, I've had experience of doing that kind of stuff. So, it gets more complex depending on what you're using. There are certain APIs that aren't implemented yet in Monogame, because obviously it's still evolving. One of the things is achievements, and leaderboards. That's not.
Yeah. Well, that's a very high level thing though.
Like that is. Yeah.
You're talking about sprites and 3Ds and matrices. And then you're saying, well, gosh, you know, we don't have leaderboards. But every leaderboard's different. Every play, there's Xbox Live on one platform, and then there's
Game Center on the other. Yeah. So, I mean, those are the areas that we're in now. We're kind of trying to get these high level APIs implemented. But yeah, I mean, if you've got an existing game, the vast majority of your code, I mean, we've HitSense have given us some stats, and they said it was 95% of their code just came across without any changes.
Mm. And how do they factor it where that the controls are different? I understand that the most common thing is just, you know, positioning the controls, whether or not you have a gyroscope or not, and detecting that, and then allowing in the settings whether or not the gyroscope is used or not, and just things like that. It seems like control scheme is like the number one thing that people end up changing as they go from platform to platform.
Yeah, I mean, in the original Xbox, you had game controllers, keyboard input, and mouse input, and that was for Xbox and obviously Windows. With the introduction of Windows Phone 7, they added a new touch API. Now, obviously, that wouldn't compile on the Xbox version. So in that particular case, most developers would hash define that out for that particular platform. And what we find is if you're developing for the desktop platforms that we support, so Mac or Linux or just a Windows desktop, that same rule applies. So there is no touch interface. There's no touch support on those platforms as of yet. So you hash define those areas out. Now, for other platforms like Windows 8 Store, Android and iOS, all the touch APIs are exactly the same, and they all work in the same way. So again, instead of just having a, say, hash define Windows Phone, you say hash define Windows Phone or Android or iOS, and you can just include the same APIs.
Well, I think a lot of business C# developers aren't used to that. The whole ifdef hash, you know, or hash define, the idea of this is the code I want you to run if we're compiling with this flag set. I mean, this is old hat for C and C++ programmers, but I think that people could probably code their entire career and never ever see those kind of things. That seems real common in the cross-platform compilation world of C#.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that you kind of have to do to get around certain particular issues. One issue is obviously that the touch API just flat doesn't exist in certain on the Xbox. So that's why you ended up that there wasn't even an assembly or a namespace which included it. So you had to make sure your code still compiled, and the hash define was the most efficient way of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, because I'm wondering, how do people who don't have this tool set available to them do this? Like, whenever I see like Angry Birds or whatever, like, is that just written in C and they just write it all over again when they move it to the next thing?
To be honest, I don't actually know how those guys do
stuff. How would you guess? You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was in Mono, we'd know.
Well, hopefully they'd tell us, yeah. So,
yeah,
but
I just wonder, like, I'm just using Angry Birds as an example, but, you know, you see a game and then at the bottom of the ad for the game, it's like PlayStation and Xbox and Android, and it's like, wow, are they just doing the game over and over again, or are they doing it in C?
They're probably doing it in C or C++.
Yeah.
Cause, I mean, it's been cross-platform for quite a few years, so you can imagine that, a core part of their game is written in C or C++ that they can just kind of port to
just
other platforms.
C.
And then it's just the layer on top of that that integrates with the various platforms that they're using. So, they're probably doing that, I would guess, or using HTML5.
But we're here at a conference full of people who love .NET and C#. Are we fooling ourselves? Like, is the only reason we're here is because we don't want to manage memory ourselves?
No, I think we're here because C# is such a cool language.
Yeah.
It has so many more features. It has some excellent features, which make developers more productive, than, say, if you had a standard C++ developer with the same amount of experience as a C# developer. My personal opinion is that the C# developer would be more productive.
So you'd put them up against a C. I'm just wondering if there's someone who's listening who's saying, yeah, these people just need to suck it up and start writing portable C. C is the great equalizer.
No, I think C# stands up against C.
Yeah.
And C++, in my own personal opinion, yeah.
Very cool. One question I wanted to ask you and then move over to Philippe was that there's all these different screen sizes and, you know, all the different resolutions, but most of the games that I play are crisp on every screen. How do you deal with the textures? How do you deal with the graphics? Like, you know, Super Mario looks awesome on even, you know, 640 by 400 or a Retina iPad. How is that handled?
There's various different techniques for that. On the iPad, they have specific ways of dealing with that. There's you can put two sets of assets into your application, one which is sort of like normal resolution, and then the high definition one that's for the Retina displays. Monogame actually has support for if you've got those two types of textures in there and they're identified by a specific, I think it's @2x identifier. Mm-hmm. Monogame will automatically detect that it's on a Retina display and load those high definition images. Platforms like Android, again, there's lots of different screen sizes. It's probably a little bit more difficult to do that on Android, but you can probably use something similar, but it's obviously not in the Monogame system at the moment. Mm-hmm. So developers would need to think about packaging maybe different versions of the application, one mm-hmm. with high-res graphics, one without.
Philippe, when you load up Infinite Flight, like on different Windows machines, you're in the Windows App Store now?
Yes.
They have different resolutions.
The Windows Phone App Store.
Windows Phone App Store. There's like, what, three or four resolutions of Windows Phone now? There's 720?
We're on the old Windows Phones. So we started on Windows Phone 7, and mm-hmm. So it was only one resolution, if I remember
that correctly. You run on Windows 8, Phone 8, though?
We do run on Windows Phone 8, but because Windows Phone 8 supports Windows Phone 7 and 7.5 application, we don't have any special like Windows mm-hmm. Phone 8 code in there.
Okay. So if I ran you on one of the new like 720p ones, there might be a little bar somewhere.
Correct. It would run at the old resolution.
So how do you think you'll handle that? Have you been thinking about that? And is that just a matter of you just need to recognize the resolution and paint?
We basically solved that problem on iPad. With iPhone and supporting iPhone all the way down to 3GS and up to the iPad 4.
Oh, wow.
4,
all the way down to 3GS.
Yes. Wow. So we have multiple, that's pretty much what Dean just said, multiple version of the textures. Also, since we're 3D games, it's a little bit easier to handle scaling, at least for the rendering of the 3D, since it's by definition a scalable, mm-hmm. by definition scalable. For the UI, that's a little bit more involved. There's some logic, and that actually it's one of the hardest thing to do is to have a scalable UI that works on all those devices.
Right. Well, how did you do it? Like, let's talk about your when you start up and you have your start settings and all that. On a 3GS, it looks great, and on a 4 or a Retina display 4, it still looks good.
Yeah, so it's a matter of scaling properly based on resolution and DPI. And making sure that you select the right font too, because obviously some font they're not gonna look good on smaller screens. On the 3GS where it's gonna mm-hmm. look great on a 4G. That's all just scaling layouts also a little.
Sure. Well, you're making a gesture like it's trivial, but I think that for the listener who's thinking about getting into this is really interesting.
Yes.
So you can use fonts. You can use like, are these TrueType fonts or are these open, OTF, or what kind of fonts are these that I can use in an XNA game?
We're basically using, the XNA sprite fonts. And what we're doing, is we have, the same font at like many different resolution and our UI code based on that resolution and the final size of that UI element mm-hmm. will select the right font at runtime.
Oh,
so
okay.
we don't pre-compute anything. It's all done at runtime. So it's very flexible. When they came out with the iPad Mini, mm-hmm. we didn't have to do anything. It just worked right there.
Yeah. Now, when you get into the game and you get into like the cockpit, do you have like cockpit renderings?
So the cockpit in 3D, it doesn't have the rendering of the glass display yet. So it's not interactive.
Okay.
But that's something that we definitely want to get into the game at some mm-hmm. point.
So it's a series of
textures.
Textures.
Yes.
What is the difference if I say, like, what's a texture? Is it just a PNG in a folder somewhere?
Yeah, it's just an image that is loaded and applied on the 3D in there and is static.
I see.
For the sake of the simulation, we want to have actual, like, all those screens that you see in a 747 cockpit, for example, that tells you, that gives you the maps or gives you, information about the plane. Those things are usually dynamic,
mm-hmm.
and that's things that we want to be able to render in real time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also also involve a UI scaling problem. So you have to be able to scale it to the right dimension.
Like if you're going to overlay an altimeter over this, like a dynamic one over the static one, there's going to be a lot of interesting.
So the idea behind this, I mean, if you want to get a little bit technical,
let's talk about it.
We're probably not
technical enough, given that we're 24 minutes in.
So we're gonna do this all in vector graphics, and it's probably. What's the best for UI in general? I mean, that's what is used in WPF a lot, or like SVG is a, to give you just example of vector graphics. Mm-hmm. So we want to do this. The more we do in vector graphics, the better, the easier it is to scale to many resolutions. So that's what I would advise anybody who wants to do a
good
scale.
And is Model Game there to support you in this, or is that just?
So no, that's things that you have to do on top of Model Game, because Model Game is still, it's fairly low level, allowing you to do that kind of stuff. But that's the extra IP that you put on your product.
Okay, so this is more math for you, and then you'll use the underlying constructs to present that.
Correct.
So Model Game supports things like 2D sprites, and it supports matrix math and things that you care about.
Drawing lines, for example. But something you have to realize is there's tons of XNA samples and XNA example tutorials out there that have already that kind of component, because XNA has a pretty heavy component-based system. And so there's a good chance that type of code is already written somewhere in a tutorial that could help you start, not from nothing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any back end? Are you uploading things, or does your community sign into your application and then post things up on some service?
So we do have a leaderboard system that logs your landings, logs your flight hours. Right now, it's not available yet on iOS. It's just for Windows Phone users.
Mm-hmm.
But that's definitely something that we want to provide to as many people as possible, because mm-hmm. that's what create the
you should
engagement.
After the show you should let me sell you Azure Mobile Services.
Yeah.
So are you on Android?
So no, not yet, but that's definitely not our next platform. We're working on it.
Mm-hmm.
We can probably announce that it kind of work. I mean, it works, but
so you have it working on your Android phones?
Yes, we have it working on our Android phones.
Okay, so this is a good question. So Dean's like, hey, it works everywhere. Why Android last, and what was it that's slowing you down on Android? Is it the number of devices that are there, or the setting up the build?
I guess it was a popularity contest when we choose between iOS and Android, and also the fact that we're a very small team, and it's a matter of being able to support all those platforms at the same time. And Android also has a lot more devices, a lot more fragmented. I mean, it's getting better, but mm-hmm. has a lot more fragmentation. So that's the reason, the main reason why, that we chose.
So you
chose
don't want it to just work on one Android. Like you don't want to say, oh, it works on Galaxy S3s and everyone else, good luck. You want it to work everywhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's really more of a testing thing?
It's more of a testing thing. And that's, mm-hmm. That's why we're here.
And the building and the setting up of the build and the sharing of the code was not that complicated?
No, not that complicated. I mean, as Dean mentioned, we're sharing 95%, if not more, of our code. I mean, we have a solution for each platform, and when we code, we have mm-hmm. all the different, solution open in Visual Studio, and we just, switch from one Visual Studio to another to just make sure that we don't break anything.
So I've been seeing different ways people to do this. I've seen one way where they'll have like mygame.portable, and they'll have Windows Phone 7, Windows Phone 8, Windows 8, and then they'll go Android and iOS, or sometimes they'll have tablet and phone. Mm-hmm. And they'll open like 5-6 projects, or they'll have one Visual Studio per platform. So you have one per platform.
Yeah, we have one per platform. I mean, there's multiple. That's just how we chose to do
this. I know it may be a personal
preference,
but this is good information for people to have. So then you're using Visual Studio and then the integration, and then when you want to build on iPhone, you have a build server that's your Mac that does the actual building.
So yeah, for iOS so far, we use Mono Develop, and now that they released the integration with Visual Studio, that's the route we're going to, because this way we can really just use Visual Studio all the time and not have to switch between macOS and Windows.
Mm-hmm. And do you use like ReSharper or any plugins, whatever you want inside of Visual Studio?
Yeah, that's the beauty of it. This is I think we're using Ants for memory analysis, and we're using a bunch of other plugins the power tools or power commands. Like
you can use
plugins.
The memory profilers and stuff too?
From the one
said you're using Ants?
Yes.
Yeah? And that lets you profile the stuff that run in Windows and things like that?
Yes, correct.
What about when you're running in iOS because you're running native?
Well, usually those things we want to do the debugging and profiling on the device. And for this, we use we use instruments. It's provided by Apple, which is fairly accurate. I mean, it's pretty good. But Ants, like, allow us on Windows, or any memory profiler directly on Windows allows to really quickly see, okay, what are we doing wrong in mm-hmm. C#? Are we using the language properly? I guess.
So I think of three things when I'm thinking about developing software like this. There's the writing the code that is custom to your application. That's mm-hmm. The IP. There's the debugging issues with the fact that you're on multiple, platforms. And then there's the actually putting it in the App Store. Which of those three things do you spend the most time messing around with? Is it the writing your code? Is it the debugging cross-platform issues? Or is it just the tedious stuff of going into the App Store on multiple App Stores and uploading all of your PNGs and stuff?
I will say the later two. we say that the last 10% of your product is taking 90% of your time.
Well, it's all the screenshots, right?
Exactly.
I was joking with somebody that Windows Phone 7 and Windows Phone 8, like, you're going to spend half of your time writing your app and the other half is taking screenshots at every resolution that you possibly
can. The description in every languages.
Are you doing that too?
Yeah, we're doing at least this description. We don't localize for every languages, but we did the description in all the supported languages on the App Store. On the App Store, not the marketplace.
But did you hire like a translator for that?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. That's like a real thing. So you guys have quit your jobs and this is your company now. Flying Development Studio it's a real thing.
Yeah. We started the company 2 years ago and, well, on our own for, one of us for a year and myself for like the past 4 months.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. Yeah. So C# and Monogame along with Xamarin and Visual Studio has allowed you to quit your day job.
Correct.
And make piles and piles of money in every app store on the planet.
To live.
Okay. Two guys can live. Yeah. So it's not quite piles and piles of money, but two guys are living quite nicely. That's great. So Infinite Flight, we can go and we can find that on Windows, in the Windows Marketplace, we can find in the App Store, and then someday soon in an Android Marketplace.
Yes.
That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Philippe. I really
appreciate
it.
Thank you,
Scott. And Dean, where can we go and learn more about Monogame?
Well, there's monogame.net, which is that's our main launch site, and that'll give you links to a Coplex site for the forums and our GitHub site where you can get the code mm-hmm. or download the installers. And we do binary installers as well for those people running on Windows. Mm-hmm. Just go to monogame.net if you're interested and get involved. It is a community project. So unlike the Philippe, I don't actually make any money
that
doing
is
Monogame
true,
stuff.
Monogame is not actually a product of Xamarin.
No, it's a free community product. Mm-hmm. So for all those XNA developers out there, if you want to take control of the future of XNA, then get involved with the project and help out.
Very cool. And speaking of free things, you can go up and you can get either the tiny, tiny starter edition and try out Xamarin, or you can get the trials and try out the full trial.
Yeah, you can get the trials. At the moment, Monogame doesn't really work with the starter edition.
Too big.
Well, yeah, it's a bit too big. We are working with Xamarin to get it whitelisted so that people will be able to make small games using Monogame with a starter.
Very cool.
And as soon as we get that sorted out, we'll make an announcement on the website.
Absolutely brilliant. Well, thanks so much for chatting with me, guys.
Thanks for having us.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.
Mm-hmm.